This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, Saturday is, as you know, is my day. Good things happen on Saturday.
We should change the name of Saturday to Faye Day.
That's right. Faye Day in Texas. It means get out, see the sun, smell the flowers, go to the barbershop, go to the beauty shop, go to lunch with your husband, take the grandkids to the park.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's what Saturday's for.
Yeah.
It's fun day.
Yeah.
Do some fun things.
We could.
Don't just sit down.
We could turn Saturday into Faye Fun Day. That would be
that's
better.
Right. Faye's Fun Day on Saturday. That's right. That's what we should call it.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to change the calendars.
Yeah, I love
everything.
Saturdays. That's right. We need a Texas calendar.
Yeah.
You know, a different type of calendar.
Now you're
yeah,
talking.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun?
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be a fun deal.
Oh.
Well, you know, schools are almost out.
Yeah.
We're fixing to be having commencement ceremonies. It's a great time of year. It's going to be time for everybody to take the family in the car, go on vacations, go eat barbecue.
Mm.
You know, I mean, if a person just put a trail through Texas, of all of our barbecue places, you know, it'd take them all summer long.
It would. It would be a whole journey just on the barbecue tour, and that would be amazing.
That's right. It would be amazing. And we've got some of the best barbecue places in the world are in Texas.
Oh,
I mean, everybody admits that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, all these people on television that go on all these barbecue deals and all these shows, there's always a Texan that wins.
Yes. Every
now,
time.
Yes, because they make such great barbecue. And you know, when we talked about that one the other day, one of the big winners was the barbecue place out of Fort Worth.
Mm.
You know, when they were at Lockhart doing all that barbecue contest, I read later that the big winner was the company out of Fort Worth. Their barbecue was a big winner.
Oh, my God. It doesn't surprise me. Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just as Texas as it can be.
It's almost time, I'm sure, to shear the llamas because, you know, we get
that's
to
right.
That
we're
season.
Shearing the llamas
yeah.
Monday morning.
Really?
Monday morning. They're going to get their coats taken off.
Wow.
The kids are going to stay home from school. It's a big deal at my house.
It's an event.
I mean, we have such big events here. I mean, first it was getting the flag back up. Everybody got their lawn chairs. We watched that. Now the zip line is going up today. Today, the zip line, after 2 years, is finally getting done.
Really?
What do you think about that? We're going to have our zip line up, and then Monday we're going to shear the llamas.
Well, good Lord, you're going to have a huge celebration or a picnic or something.
We're going to have a huge celebration. This is three big deals in our life.
Yeah.
You know, little children will remember all this forever. You know, it's not like city kids. You know, city kids, as I call them, you know, they don't know about cows. They don't know about milk. They think milk comes just out of a jar. They don't know that real cows give that milk. They know nothing about farms. And I've been telling this story about the chickens. This lady here in Argyle bought these little chickens. She doesn't know a dadgum thing about chickens. And she goes on next door and says, "Oh, my gosh, I got them a heater. They won't go near it. Are they going to die tonight?"
Oh, my word.
Going, oh, my gosh.
Oh.
You know, city people, you know, try to do things like farm people, And it sure is hard for them. They just sometimes don't get it.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you forget.
Yeah, and when they see the purple cow on television, they believe there is a purple cow.
For a long time, I believe there was a brown cow that put out chocolate milk.
There you go. You have to have different kinds of cows for different things.
You do.
It's like the tissue paper, bathroom tissue ad, where there is a little blue bear.
Oh.
And, you know, I love that little blue bear. I think he's so cute. And now little children believe we do have blue bears.
Yeah.
That's good advertising when you can convince people of that.
Wow.
So good ads are everything, you know? You can convince people of a lot of things.
That is true. That is true. Some of them are not good things, but...
That's right, but at least you convinced them.
Yeah. I used to believe...
You know, if a person could go back and see all the ads... For all the things from the 60s to now, they would laugh their head off.
Yeah.
The way what ads used to be and what they are now.
There were so much more innocent back then.
They were innocent. They were fun. I remember the ones where the mother was cooking in the kitchen. You know, they were selling probably pancake mix or something. And she had on a cute little white apron with the bow in the back.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
But she had on her heels and her hair was done and she was showing these products at the stove. I mean, and we all believe that.
Oh, yes. It was all just as down home as could be.
It was. And then they would sell cars on television. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And they'd show the car lot. And this guy with the big hat would be out there selling the cars.
Yeah. Now you got slicked up ads. I tell you what, though, some of the cereal commercials have still some of the same things that they used to have back then. They still have, and some of them are kind of like, you know, cartoons and things like that, but they still have the same kind of a thing. They're a little slicked up now, but still, they look really, really cool. So it kind of reminds us of the same, I guess, the good old days.
Yeah, the good old days, because everything has gone too far on television.
It has.
You know, it's so far out there that it really can't let anybody watch it. You have to be so careful. And, you know, and I'm a fan of Perry Mason and, you know, a lot of things like that, the old things. And the other day, I did not know this, but Raymond Burr was not the first Perry Mason.
Really?
And I did not know that because I've watched it as long as I can remember. And it was late at night, and I turned it on, and it was like in the 30s. And all of a sudden, the language just went to heck. And I go, oh, my gosh. And the Perry Mason was some guy they had dreamed up, and it was almost a dirty movie, and I was in shock.
Really?
Because this was supposedly way before Raymond Burr and all these other people came on television as Perry Mason. This was an old Perry Mason. And it wasn't good, folks. I'm here to tell you.
Wow, I'm shocked. I didn't know that. Because, I mean, that's what he's known for. That was his biggest role. I had no idea there was another one before him.
There was one before him, and I did not know that till the other day. And everything in it was like the 30s and 40s. And I said, oh, my gosh, I thought it was just a regular Perry Mason, which, you know, is a good, clean show. It's fun. You know, they're solving mysteries. And I like all the characters really well. And I was just shocked. I didn't like any of the characters. I didn't like any part of it, frankly.
Wow. And the language was so bad. Because usually back then.
Oh, yeah, the language was bad.
Wow.
Now, maybe it's newer. And they made it look that way. Now, I don't know. I didn't have time to investigate because I turned it.
Yeah.
So I don't know when it was really done. But it shows 30s and 40s, but the language was atrocious. It was very bad.
Wow. That really shocks me because I thought that all the language didn't come in until, like, newer like shows.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah.
And maybe I don't know who made it and when it was made. I need to go back and look that up to see if it really was old. Or, you know, if somebody made it, but you wouldn't think that they would have made it recently or anything and made it look that old.
They'd probably make it slicked up and, you know, all kinds of special effects and all the wizardry that they do now. That's shocking to me, not in a good way.
I was really shocked because it's not a family show. You couldn't let anybody watch it. In fact, I didn't need to be watching it. So I turned it and said, I don't need to be seeing this.
Wow.
I said, I don't need this, you know. Oh, man.
Jeez.
There's enough bad language in the world without me watching that.
Yeah, it's like that should be your escape from all the harshness of the world today. And now
that's
even
right, because
infected.
Yeah, I mean, when they infect your good, clean shows that you've watched all your life, you know. Usually I watch those because the language is clean, it is good, it's good entertainment, because all the new shows, you know what they're like.
Oh, yeah.
They've got every kind of language in the world in them, and you can't let your family watch them.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's too bad.
Yeah.
And that's why I go to Westerns, because the Westerns, you know, not going to talk like that. They might say a couple of words, but that's it. And the rest of it's just good, clean Western shoot 'em ups, you know, which yeah. I love.
And the wardrobes, that's another thing. The wardrobes today are getting less and less. And so it's like, how can you
like
get away with
almost
that?
Almost nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know years ago you couldn't, they would have censored it and said, put some clothes on.
Yeah. Jeez.
And I think we all look better with clothes on.
We do.
I think we could do a survey and everybody would say, yes, put the clothes on.
That's true.
We do not need to see that. I mean, you know, let's keep it clean.
Of course, if you're on social media, they send a whole different message.
That's right.
Wow.
And, you know, pretty soon we're not even going to have but a few television channels, looks like.
Oh.
You know, they're taking all these out. I don't understand it. I used to switch to Newsmax a lot. Newsmax is gone. I mean, you know, they just took it off. What happened? I mean, how can people just say, we're not going to let you be on television?
I don't know. I don't know how they can do that.
I mean,
it's
weird. I don't either, but they did. And Newsmax had some of the greatest people that had come from, they came from Fox, they came from other channels. And they were great, you know, on there. Sean Spicer's now left Newsmax. He's going to go help somebody. Steve Scalise raise money. I liked him real well. Eric Bowling is on Newsmax. I can't even think of all the other guys, but they're good speakers. They did a good job on the news. And then those people were fighting them, saying, you've got to go. You're not liberal enough. We don't want you on the air.
Mm. I don't understand what's happening. It seems like a total upheaval, really, in the recent past.
That's what I'm thinking, too. I mean, everything we were used to, just having all your choices, you can watch whatever you want, whoever you are, whatever minded you are, and then all of a sudden they take choices away from us and say, oh, no, we're not going to let you have all these choices. You're going to watch what we want you to watch and nothing else. That's kind of scary.
It is kind of scary.
You know?
Wow.
I mean, I'm used to just turning on the television and watching it, you know?
Yeah.
And then somebody says, oh, no, we've taken that out. We've taken this out. And then Tucker Carlson was fired. And, you know, they said that his worth to that channel was $564 million.
Really? Wow.
That's what they said he was worth to them. So they gave him up, and he was worth that much to the network. They said he was the highest prized on all of their channels every day, that he did the best. He was the most watched person on Fox.
Wow.
Which I didn't know all that, but that's what they're saying.
Yeah, it almost seems like it was better when we only had like three channels.
Do you remember that? Well, let's see, we had NBC, CBS, and ABC.
Yeah.
I remember all that.
You had the
and
little
you know,
rabbit
we did
ears.
Fine all those years, didn't we? Remember that?
We didn't know what we were missing.
there you go. You're right. We'd come in at 6 o'clock and get the 6 o'clock news. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, you'd eat supper and watch the news. Yeah.
That's right. And then big time wrestling on Saturday night. I remember that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And let me tell you what else was big. As the World Turns.
Oh.
Now, do you remember that sitcom? It was on 20-something years. And I was in the insurance business. And I'd have an appointment with somebody. I'd go to their house at noon or 12:30, and it's on. And they say, would you sit here with me? This is not quite over. And they would not talk to you till as the World Turn leaves. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Wow. They were dedicated and loyal, that's for sure. Jeez.
I remember being in Stinnett, Texas, and Dalhart, and going to these ladies' houses, and they would be watching as the world turns, and they would not turn it off, and you have to be quiet till it's over. How far we've come.
Yeah. Are soap operas even on anymore, or are they all gone?
I don't know. If soap operas are still on. I know a lot of those have passed away. I mean, they were on so long, they passed away while on the show.
Wow.
I mean, it was on for years and years. I don't even remember the names of the actors and actresses, but I know they were very popular. They did not leave the show. They stayed with it. I don't remember who the sponsors were, you know, who the advertisers were. But I do remember that everybody at noon, that in the market, the cattle market, was on every day at noon. Every rancher would turn to the market and listen to what cattle were selling for, lambs, everything, hogs. They knew, they wanted to know that every day what the market was on their livestock, whether they were going to sell any that week or not.
Hmm. I remember that.
Yeah.
I forgot about it, but yeah. I was little when I remember that from. Wow. Boy,
and,
that's
and
a flashback.
I remember that. Yeah. So we've come a long way. I mean, the farmers were listening on the radio to get the news on all their livestock, what it was selling for. And look where we are today.
I know.
Everything flashes on the screen every minute. You know, you can get anything instantly. This is an instant society. Do you realize that?
Yeah, it's true. That's true. You can have it right now. And you don't have to go anywhere.
That's right. No, just pick up your computer, dial Amazon.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do, dial Amazon.
Yeah.
And now Bed and Bath and Beyond, as you know, is going out, closing all the stores. And I buy all the paper towels for the offices from Bed Bath & Beyond. So I went and looked real quick to see, and they're just about sold out. And I thought, well, I wonder now where I can get those little napkins. And I said, well, let me look at Amazon. Mm. They have a million of them. So that's what's happening. You know, everything's going to be concentrated down to Amazon. You can get anything still at Amazon.
Yeah, I wonder sometimes. That kind of makes me think that when stores like Bed Bath & Beyond and other ones either cut back or start to close their doors, they may do their liquidation sale. But then after that, whatever's left over, I wonder if they'll, you know, like sell it to Amazon or something like that to at least get something, maybe some kind of like on a consignment kind of basis or something like that. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. They've already closed some of the stores. I was driving down the street the other day, and this is what's strange. This one in North Dallas, they had just remodeled it. Just remodeled the whole thing.
Really?
It's one of the first ones that closed.
Jeez. That's
so they spent all that money remodeling, then now they're closing everything. That was a waste of time and money.
Yeah, it was.
You know?
Wow.
Why get it all fixed up and you knew you were in trouble financially? Why do that?
That doesn't make any sense. I don't know why you would do that. It's not like it was a surprise. It's like, hey, let's remodel, you know, some stores. And then, you know what? On second thought, let's just close. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like the government here. See, I just happened to be on some channel where the government was on. And they were asking the Congress for $100 million just to operate right now. They said, you know, we're really low on funds, and we have to have this immediately. And they said, and how much? Oh, $100 million will do it. I'm going, you know, these people need to get out of Washington, and somebody needs to have a reality check. $100 million just for that one agency. They said they were really short right now, And they could just use $100 million. And they said, well, what about all this fraud and all this COVID and all these loans? Well, we're working to get those people responsible. And they and this congressman spoke up and said, oh, and we're going to get all that money back? Oh, well, that's okay. And they said, oh, no, we're not going to get the money back.
No.
I said, you can't count on that. No, no, we're not going to get the money back.
No. Wow.
No, they're going to keep that money. That money's gone, and we're not going to try to get that back. But you give us $100 million, and we'll fight this thing. You know, give us $100 million.
You know what
I'm
think?
I'm going, oh, my gosh. You know, they don't even know how much $100 million is.
Oh, no. It's not important anyway. No.
It's not important to them. You know, Washington can't count. They can't add and subtract. You know? It just everything is just, you know, $1 trillion here, $1 trillion there. What the heck?
Yeah.
And there's no accounting for those people. They don't have to account for anything. They just set up there, and their friends come in, and they said, here, let us give you $50 million. We'll give you $20 million. Oh, well, $100 million isn't enough. We'll give you $1 billion. I mean, you know.
You know what I think, and I'm sure somebody would back me up on this. You should go to Washington. You should run for office.
I would clean house. Yeah. I'd get all those people
you would.
And say, you've been here a long time, and the trough is dry.
Yeah.
You know, we're tired of feeding you every day. You know? I mean,
wow.
You've stole more than you should. Your pockets are full of money. Your houses have got all this money. Your bank accounts are bloated. You know, and you came to Washington and said you weren't going to steal. But that's what you did with both
thing.
Hands.
Yeah.
That's the first thing they do. And then they find out who'll help them.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you'll help me steal, man, we can. And, you know, they go up there and a lot of them are not wealthy. You know that.
Yeah.
And when they leave there, they are so wealthy. They've got 5 houses. A jet, they've got everything when they leave Washington.
Boy, it is a paycheck and a half, that's for sure.
It is, and they get with the lobbyists, and they figure out, you know, what industries will pay them to give them money, and man, they just go to work, and they they travel to Spain, they travel to Italy. They're on a fact-finding mission. You know that, don't you? The facts are what kind of wine do they have. That's the mission.
It's a little research trip is what it is.
It's always research. And they get on a plane in the summer, and they say, okay, pick a spot. Where can we vacation this summer? It'll be a fact-finding mission. The people won't get it. They won't understand. It's all right.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, my gosh.
Wow. I'd like to give you 5 minutes with one of their books, and I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine?
Oh.
It's kind of like Warren Buffett the other day. He was going to invest in some of the bank stocks, and he got their financials and went through them, and he said, no way. Mm. He looked at 5 banks. He said, when I saw their financials, he said, I turned them down.
Yeah.
He knew that they had all these discrepancies. And it's just, you know. And the people that oversaw these banks gave them a clean bill of health. There's nothing wrong. And then KPMG, who audited all these, is being sued because they said all these banks were very healthy.
Mm.
And they were lying. Those banks weren't healthy. They knew they had all these loans. And they said the really wealthy people in California, they made them all these real low interest loans where they would come and bank with them. Mm. And they said that's where all their problem is. They made these low interest loans, and they didn't make any money. There was no money to be made.
Do you think we're past the bank thing, or do you think that'll come back around again?
No,
at some
there's
point?
Still a few more. Yes, there's a few more.
Ugh.
So.
Well,
other than that, it's a great day. Let's talk about making money. We better be talking about making money today.
We probably should. It's almost time for trivia.
Oh, my gosh. Where has the day gone?
I know it. All excited
I mean,
about the zip
line. We should have had the laundry out. We, you know, we should have all this other done. We should have a car washed by now, you know.
Wow. Look at you. Just touching on everything today. Getting it all
That's
done in
right.
a hurry.
Well, I'm thinking spring. I'm thinking, you know, birds and flowers and, you know, So you just have to think of a little bit of everything. But let's talk about money. Like you said, it's going to be trivia time.
Yeah.
By the time you and I even get anything done today.
And then you'll get phone calls.
I will get phone calls. Let's talk about annuities. Let's talk about life settlements and customer base and what we're doing. You know, we just finished up this $5 million policy. Not everybody got in it. I want to apologize for that. I didn't make it clear enough last Saturday that you had to get in it immediately. I guess it was my fault. I thought everybody understood that we were going to close that thing out this last week. And a lot of people were out of town. I didn't know it. And I'd given them the invitation. Time they got back, their spot was filled.
Oh.
And so we had several people that had been out of the country. One guy got in that had been out of the country because he was farther up the list. But I had several people, including my hairdresser. He wanted to put $50,000 to $100,000 in it. And when I told him, I said, I didn't hear from you. He said, why didn't you call? I said, you know, I don't want to bother anybody. You know, if they want to do it, I want them to do it, but I don't want to bother anybody.
Yeah.
He said, my phone was out on Monday.
Oh.
He said, can you get somebody to take less and let me come in?
Oh.
And I said, I'll try, but I don't think anybody will take less because I had several of our doctors that went in this policy, and they put more in than we usually allow. So, you know, the policy went fast. I'm sorry. But we just didn't get to everybody. That's all there is to it. A lot of people wanted in it. But we've got some other great policies coming up the next week or two that we'll try to get everybody in, get everybody invested. We've got a lot of people still on the sidelines. I know they've got some that have went over, but, you know, they'll all come due at the same time probably. Usually when somebody calls me about a policy that's went over, the next week or two, like two will come in a row. So we're hoping that, but I would continue to invest even if I had something over because all these in the last 2 years are coming due on time. You know, the Campbell policy, we should have the money on it, I think, next week. And the Campbell policy, as you know, it was a $3 million one. It came in on time. So that was a good thing. And then, you know, we had the other two policies that came in. And I think one of them was the Campbell policy. We did that in 20. So that did come in on time. And then there was two other ones. Slaughter, that one was late, but the other one was on time. So we've got Slaughter, we've got Jones, and we've got Campbell coming in.
Mm. So
So we've got those three that will be paying very soon. That will free up some money for a lot of people, especially the $3 million one.
Yeah.
And then we'll be checking this week to see maturities. You know, lots of times I get off the phone on Saturday, and then on Monday, I find out that we'd had a maturity over the weekend. So
wow.
We are having a lot of maturities, more than we've ever had. Our policies are better than they used to be. Or it's just that the people that are doing the LEs are a lot better. Maybe that's it.
Hmm.
Lapidus, you know, they use scientists, and they're 96% correct.
Really?
According to the government, yes. Lapidus is 96% correct. And they are scientists. They're not just doctors, they're scientists. So they're doing a better job. Their LEs are better. That's a good thing.
I know you've talked about all the advancements that have, you know, that have been made, not only in the types of policies, but how they're analyzed and things like that. And so these new policies that you're looking at are even better than what you had even, say, 2 or 3 years ago, right? I mean, that's fair to say, I would think.
They are better than 2 or 3 years ago because we had not changed the company yet at that point. I don't even remember when we changed, but I know that these people are good. They're doing a better job. We're having people make money faster. They're coming due quicker, and we're doing a better job. The old ones are still out there. You know, I've offered to buy some people out. But most people want to wait for their money, because if we did a buyout, the investor, you know, would want to make the profit. So you wouldn't make the profit. So the people that have got some gone over, you know, they're willing to wait because they want to get their profit. And that's understandably, I want them to have their profit too. But we've got a lot of policies yet to go. We've got a lot that we've done in the last 2 years that'll be coming due. We've got some of the old ones I think will come due. Somebody asked me this week to get them some new life expectancies. I'm doing that. And I'll do it with a new company, so they'll give them a new perspective.
Mm. Yeah, some revised,
but
updated data.
It's still
data.
The best game in town. It's still the most conservative investment there is. It's a life insurance policy. When people invest with us, we're letting them invest in a life insurance policy. You know a life insurance company will pay off. We know that when you invest in a company like this, they have up reserves. You know, that's what makes it a good investment. Life insurance companies have to put up so much reserves to cover these life insurance policies. And banks don't have that many reserves, as we've talked about for a year. And now you know that because a lot of them have folded. So you know that this is a safer investment. This is where your money ought to be. If you want to be conservative, your principal is always safe. That principal is safe because it's in a life insurance policy. Your interest is safe because the bank is going to pay the face amount, and we didn't buy it for face amount. We bought it for less than face amount, or we wouldn't have any profit. So, you know, if it's a 15-month policy, you're going to make 15 to 23%. This other one, I think, paid 23% on 15 months.
Mm,
so, you know, that's it's very good.
Yeah.
And if it's 15 months, usually it's 15%. But this one paid more. A lot of them pay more. If you notice it when you go in, look and see what it's going to pay. We send out, the life expectancy. We do a synopsis and tell them, you know, how many months it is, what kind of cancer it is, and what the risks are. The risk is it could go over. If it goes over, you have to pay premiums. That's why it's so important that we do something with low premiums. This big one we just did, the $15 million, it was less than 0.5%.
Oh, wow. That's
huge. $5
million.
Yeah, it was like 0.4 something. So it wasn't even 0.5% on $5 million. The other policy that we did had no premium. We did a policy with no premium because it was coming out of a group life policy. And those, if you're a government employee, those are paid up. They have no premium. So that was a great policy to get in. There'll never be any premium on that policy. So, you know, we're doing a better job. It's a good time to invest. It's a good time to come over and put some money conservatively, unless you just like the risk. If your heart can take the risk of the stock market going up and then crashing and going back down and going sideways, then the stock market's for you. But if you can't take all that and you're getting older, you're 60 years old, and you say, you know, I want to retire in 5 years. Well, you want to be sure you've got the money to retire on. So I would put some of my money where it's not at risk.
Yeah, at least you've got something that'll be protected.
I had a guy the other day said his 401k had went down so much, he was going to have to do something else.
Mm.
Then I had a young guy that is a grandson of one of my great, great investors. And she said that her grandson's 401k was losing money. She said, what can we do? I said, well, as young as he is, let's do an annuity for him where he'll have guaranteed income, guaranteed money, and he won't have that risk factor because he's young. Let him jack with that 401k the next 20 years, but this annuity will give him money when he retires. It'll be there for him. Can you imagine if you had an annuity and you saved and took no money out for 20 years?
Oh, my.
And it's compound interest. There's no taxes due to you take it out, so you pay no taxes for 20 years on an annuity.
Wow.
That's a heck of a deal.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. You start that annuity young enough, and you pay no taxes for 20 or 30 years. It should more than double in that length of time. So a person that's young, they can start an annuity now, not ever taking money out, waiting to retirement, and you've got some pretty good money there, and you're putting money in it every year. So it should be worth quite a bit of money time you get ready to retire. And you know it'll be there. And grandparents, we have them do it all the time. They'll put $10,000 in each one for the grandchildren or $25,000 and get them started. And then let them put money in it for college or not for college and just for later in life. It's a wonderful gift for your grandkids and your children.
That's brilliant. That's really setting them up for success.
Yeah, I think everybody should do that. Everybody has enough money for the grandkids, you know, to set up some annuities where that, you know, time they retire, they've actually got something. And it's solid. It's not going to go up and down like the stock market. It won't go sideways. So that's what I would recommend. Is it time for trivia? You told me I had to hurry because it's almost trivia time.
Wow, you caught me off guard. Wow, yeah, you got a lot in a big hurry. All right, let's do it.
I had to. You said it was almost time, so I had to tell the story quick and fast.
Wow, well, you did. Wow, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. There's a lot of great things on our website. Go to the website. You can go back and listen to all the stories that we do on Saturday morning in the archives. All this is archived. You can go back. If you missed Saturday, go back and do the archives.
And you have a lot of people that actually do that. They may be out of town or on vacation or something, and they'll pull it up and take a listen and hear what's new. So,
okay. I have a lot of people that do that. And now, a lot of people do miss it, so they do it.
Very cool. Now it's time for trivia.
It is now time for trivia. Okay. We're going to do a story on a guy that was a great Texan. He did a lot of great things. He's my kind of guy. His name is William Whitliff. William Whitliff was born in Taft, Texas, 1940. He moved to Blanco when he was a teenager. He went to the University of Texas. He studied journalism. And after he got out, he went to work for Southern Methodist University Press in Dallas. In 1964, he started his own publishing house. It was called Encino Press. The last book that came out from Encino Press was Blue and Some Other Dogs by John Graves. But this guy was not only a writer of books, he wrote a lot of screenplays. That's what made him famous was his screenplays. And here he is from Taft, Texas.
Cool.
He wrote Country, 1984. This was going to be his debut, but he quit after the cinematographer was fired. But Whitliff met Willie Nelson in the late 70s, and he was the writer on Honeysuckle Rose.
Wow.
Then he did Barbarossa with Nelson. Then he agreed to write a script based on the album that Nelson wrote called Redheaded Stranger. Well, Whitley finished the draft of it in 1979. They went to Universal. Universal said, okay, we'll give you a budget of $14 million. But the studio didn't want him. They didn't want Willie Nelson. They wanted Robert Redford to play the redheaded stranger. Well, Willie Nelson already figured out he was going to do it. And Redford then turned the part down. So Willie Nelson and Whitley, they said, look, let's just return the money and buy the script back. And they did. And Whitliff went on, he produced it, he directed it, and so he did The Redheaded Stranger, which was really famous for Willie Nelson and him both. So that's really what made him famous, was doing The Redheaded Stranger. But then he came along and he wrote the screenplay for Lonesome Dove.
Oh.
Yes. 1989, he won a Writers Guild of America for that, and he wrote Leaving. He got a Bronze Wrangler Award from the National Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum. In 1995, he won another bronze for Legends of the Fall. He's received every award that a writer, a screenwriter could ever get. Wow. So then, comes along in 1986, he said, I'm going to found the Southwest Writers Collection. He did it at Texas State University in San Marcos. And he features all this work by authors, songwriters, Texas, and the American Southwest. So then in 1996, he founded the Whitliff Collection of Southwestern and Mexican Photography at the university. Cool. It's the university's highest holdings. They now have renamed it the Whitliff Collection. He's become one of the most extensive archives of Southwestern material in the entire United States is at Texas State University in San Marcos,
really?
Of all places.
Wow, that's cool.
Uh-huh. It's got the most extensive collection in the United States. And two of the collections is the papers of the writer Cormac McCarthy and Sandra Sinestro. Now then, here is the great part about it. When he did all this, they brought all this stuff to the university from Lonesome Dove. You can go down to the university, go up to the seventh floor, and you can see all the stuff from Lonesome Dove.
Really?
It's right here in Texas at the university.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Yes. And you can see Woodrow McCall, Gus McCrae. You can see their shirts, their bandanas, their hat. Everything is right there. And not only all the collection from Lonesome Dove, the original screenplay is at the university.
Is it really? Now, how cool is that?
This is the coolest guy I know. And so then Bill and his wife, Sally, they collected all these writers' papers for years and decided to open them to the public. These are priceless papers from Cormac McCarthy, Sam Shepard. But another thing is the work of Whitlet himself. So all of his works, all of his original papers are at the university, and they say they are priceless.
Wow, that's cool.
Then there's arrows shot by the Comanches. There's hats, guns, the wooden sign for the Hat Creek Cattle Company that hung outside their headquarters. They even have the deceased body of Gus that Carl dragged back to Texas as a final act of friendship. Oh, man. They say the most amazing thing on the script was what he used on the set. It's got his tweaks and changes to lines to tell the story.
Really?
And I'm so impressed that all this is at San Marcos at Texas State University. It's one of the greatest collections of Southwest and his photography. He was also famous for his photography as well as his screenwriting abilities.
Wow.
And he's from Taft, Texas.
Cool. You know, it's like...
I mean, a little bitty town.
You don't always think that, you know, there's like props and costumes and, you know, things that are left over. I guess I didn't even realize it was on display anywhere. So I guess so many times when things wrap, you know, they just kind of, you know, get rid of stuff or reuse it on another production or whatever. So that's really, really cool. One, that it's around. And then two, that we can actually go see it.
This is what impresses me, that you can go see all the things from Lonesome Dove, the arrows, the Comanche things, the door sign. I mean, and then all their costumes are right there for you to see. I mean, I am so impressed. I had no idea all this was available to us right here in Texas at Texas State University in San Marcos, Texas. And Whitlet's, all of his papers, original things are there that he gave him and his wife, Sally. And they said the papers are priceless.
Wow.
All the things he had. And this guy, I'm always shocked when people come from small towns and what they're capable of. It seems like the guys from small towns, they study harder. They really make something of themselves. It's not like the big city kids that, you know, are just after dad's money.
Yeah.
You know, they really make something of themselves. And everybody can really be proud he's a Texan.
Yeah. No doubt. You know, sometimes when people are from small towns, like you say, they have to work harder because they know that they're up against a much steeper climb to get to where they're trying to get to. Whereas people, you know, from the city, you know, they don't. It's just kind of like they expect everything to sort of be handed to them. I know I'm generalizing things, but it does seem like there's a much bigger drive when people are from a smaller town like this. So,
It shows.
That's exactly right. And small town kids, lots of times they're just kind of gone over. You know, nobody expects them to do a lot or make a lot of money. They figure they're going to stay right there. But this guy didn't. I mean, went to SMU. I mean, got these degrees and made something of himself. And who would have thought he could write Lonesome Dove? I mean, anybody that did that has to be really great at writing. And all the screenplays he wrote, like The Redheaded Stranger, all these things he wrote with Willie Nelson. He was just brilliant at what he did. And to give all these papers, all the originals, everything he did, all of his works are right there. And then he did all this photography, and they say it's just as great as his writings. So he was very talented in many ways.
You know, what else is really impressive to me is that when you say that, you know, they sold the script and they were ready to go, and then they had Robert Redford in there, and then they're like, no. And so they undid it all. They bought they bought it back. And then, I mean, they believed in it that much, because it could have been an easy, you know, hey, sure, have Robert Redford do it. It'd be a smashing success. We'll just take the money and go. But to believe in it for themselves to do it, to the point where they would buy it back and do it themselves, that's impressive. I mean, that's having some faith right there, not just taking the easy way.
They had a lot of faith in what they could write. Yeah. They figured that they wrote this thing, they could make it work. And, you know, all those Willie Nelson movies that he did were great. Now, there wasn't a bad one in the bunch. But he knew Westerns. That's what's so great. He knew his craft. He knew how to write it where everybody would love it. And they all made box office hits. None of them were a dud. They were all big hits. And a lot of those writers in Hollywood can't say that. Mm-hmm. They write stuff every day that's so bad you have to turn the television off. You can't even watch it.
It's terrible.
But it seems like Texas people have got more pride in their work than anybody in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they know that they can do it better. And so they do. And that's admirable. It's cool.
Yeah, and his wife, Sally, was a lawyer. You know, they had all these works, and to give them to the university was, I think, a great move on their part.
Yeah.
Where it would be preserved for generations to come.
Boy, I really want to go see that original script, too. Oh,
I do, too. I'm dying to go see this now that I discovered it. And I discovered it quite by accident, but I loved it after I found it.
Really? It was an accident?
Yeah.
Oh,
it was an accident. I was searching some papers, and I found it, and I said, well, who is this guy? I've got to find him. And when I did, then I got the whole story.
Wow. How cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was cool, because I just found it by accident.
That's where some of the best things come from, is by accident. And this is proof.
I think so. With me, it is.
Wow. Well, see, now we were talking about things to do at the beginning of the show. We were talking about, you know, oh, it's, you know, getting to be, you know, warmer weather and school's almost out and it's time to plan some trips. This might be one of the first one that goes on the list. This is really cool.
I think it should be, because I think it'll be a wonderful experience getting to see all this, getting to see all his writings, his photography, and then all the costumes.
Yeah.
That's what I really would like to see first. I'd probably go look at the costumes first, the arrows, all the stuff from Lonesome Dove, because it'll bring back all the memories and make it really real to see all this.
Yeah. And I'm sure they've got, you know, like as they've got like the costumes in displays, I'm sure they've got like pictures of people like in the actual scenes wearing those things, and it'll be bring back all those memories. It's like, I remember seeing that. And then there it is right there. You're standing right in front of it. How cool. Wow.
And everybody said to me, these were real cowboys.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they brought it home.
Mm, no doubt. And this is all on display. Where? In San Marcos?
Yes, in San Marcos at Texas State University.
Wow.
7th floor. And
cool.
You just go down there and just go up to the 7th floor where the library is. And it's got all the Whitliff collections.
Wow.
And everything that they did. And it's all open to the public. These are priceless papers. And he's got the priceless papers of two other writers there. Cormac McCarthy and Sam Shepard.
Mm.
I mean, he's got all their works there. all original works.
Wow.
Of all these people. I don't know how he got theirs, but he did.
Boy, this is a really big deal. This is a really cool thing.
It is a big deal.
That's awesome.
And everybody should want to go and see this collection. I think that would be one of my number one things for the summer. Go and look at this. Go see all this collection. It'll take some time and enjoy it.
Yeah. Take like maybe a weekend or a long weekend or something. It sounds like a great trip.
Yeah, a long weekend, and just drive down there and do it.
Yeah, no doubt. Awesome. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You touched real quick on the life settlements. You had mentioned that one of the risks is that it could go over. Should we review the other one? Or
yes, let's go over it. Let's go from scratch. You must be accredited to do this. And to be accredited, you must make either $200,000 a year or you must be worth $1 million without your house. The minimum investment is $100,000. People ask me, why are those requirements? That's a government requirement, not mine. So if you qualify for that, you can come to us. We'll work with you. There's two or three risks. The first risk, again, is if it goes over, you have to pay premiums. That's why they want you to be accredited, to make sure you could make a premium call. And the second risk is it is not liquid until it matures. So when it matures, it's liquid. You can reinvest. You can use some of it to buy a pickup. You can do whatever you want. But you have to wait till it matures. And every time that we do this, when we invest, we send out a letter and say, would you like to invest in this? We tell you the pros, the cons. We tell you everything that is available. You read it. If you say yes, you send it back and say, yes, I want to invest in it. If you say no, it's all right. We just want to know one way or the other which way you're going. And, you know, most of our people let us know right away, but a lot of people don't read their emails. That's what happened. That's why some of these people didn't get in the policy. They don't read emails out in West Texas. They're working. They're hardworking people, and they just forget. It's not that big a deal to them to read their emails.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
So I thought I'd mention that.
You had also mentioned that there are some investors that are, I guess, waiting for some policies to mature. I know it's always best to be diversified, and you want to be in as many policies as possible at any given moment. That's how you really maximize the whole thing. But when they don't, is it fair to say that, one, not only are they not making money, but two, does that open up positions, I guess, for new investors when they come in to get into policies? Does that free things up for them as
well?
Yes,
it does. Right. That's right. If the others are saying, no, I'm going to wait, then I could put some new investors in their place and say, okay. And we've got lots and lots of maturities. It's just some people, theirs haven't matured. And I guess that scares them. But their investment is safe. We've just got to get better LEs, which we're doing now, and the older LEs get those out as quickly as possible.
Yeah, yeah. For annuities, you had mentioned those real quick earlier, too. There are some people that set these up for, like, college, like, specifically for college. I know you were talking about, you know, they set them up early so that when, you know, later on in life, you know, they're set for, like, retirement and whatnot and maybe double the investment and all that. But are there some people that set it up, like, specifically for college, or how does that work? I'm sure I'm saying that wrong.
Yes, a lot of people set them up for their children or their grandchildren for college, and they'll put like $10,000 in each one. Sometimes they'll put $25,000 or $50,000, depends. And then they fix it where they can't cash it in, and they tell them this is not to be cashed in. That way they won't just grab it and, you know, throw the money away. And it'll actually mean something if they'll keep it, you know, 10 to 20 years. Then they'll have a good nest egg for something. And if they're that young, if they're, you know, 15 years old, 10 years old, 20, this is a good investment for them.
Is it ever too late to start an annuity?
If you're 80, I'd say you're right on the precipice. Mm. You're getting almost too old. One of my clients is 80, by the way, and we just did a new annuity for her. So that's really about the last time you can change your annuities over.
Wow. Cool. So basically, yeah. No matter – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, we don't want anybody doing an annuity when they get, you know, where they can't remember or they get mushy. You know, like I tell them, you've got to be where you can remember everything about your annuity. So, you know, this lady's very smart, great shape. So we did her one last annuity. This is her second or third one.
Oh, cool. Cool. Annuities are basically that's the investment that you basically set it and forget it, or as opposed to the...
Set it and forget it.
Yeah.
Take money out once a year, or don't take any if you plan to leave it to somebody else. But a lot of people have been taking money out of their annuities, and I've told that story several times. The man retired from, like, Chevron, gave me $1 million, and he's been taking $60,000 a year out.
Yeah.
And it works. You know, yeah. He's still got money.
Yeah. He could take more if he wanted to, but that's a nice, comfortable, that's the good sweet spot.
He didn't even want to take that much. He wanted to take, like, 30. And we said, look, you've got the money, you can take more out. So I talked him into it.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, my goodness. So pretty much wherever anybody is in their investment career, whether, you know, pre-college or, you know, well past retirement, there is something for everybody if you're looking for something conservative. I know I've never said that before.
That's
right. But is that
if you're
fair?
Looking for something, and I've got people that are fixing to sell some land, they're going to put that into annuities, you know, because they're going to need income. If people need income, the annuity is a great way to do it. Like if you've got some real estate, you need to sell it because you're going to need cash. The real estate's not going to give you monthly income. It's not going to give you annual income if it's just land. And now if it had a house on it or apartments, but a lot of people can't manage all those. I had a couple that had 7 rent houses. They almost went crazy.
Oh, wow.
The rent houses almost did them under. The renters sometimes didn't pay. So you don't make any money that month. And then the hassle of getting them out of there and getting somebody else in, and then the damages they cause. Annuities get you out of all that. You don't have renters. You don't have people you have to talk to. It avoids a lot of nastiness. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, so annuities is a passive investment. You just buy them. They put the interest in once a year. It locks in. And you can take, after the first year, you can take 10% a year out. And they've still got that bonus right now for the 9% bonus for everything you put in for the next 7 years.
Cool.
So I think that bonus is going to go another 2 weeks, maybe 3.
Oh, wow. Oh, cool.
So that's a good thing. But they could call it any time because they haven't told me yet. But annuities are safe. They've been around 100 and something years. The companies have to be huge to do them. And you want to do it with, you know, companies like we do that are worth $60 billion or $100 billion, you know, big companies. Because right now, all companies should be large.
Cool. And you've got availability to see and talk to people this coming week, right?
Business we will be usual. Talking to people all week. We'll be doing new customers, new accounts. And then we'll be helping customers that we've already got. And if we get these policies in this week, we'll get their money invested.
Awesome. All right, Faye, one last time. What is the phone number for people to call and get started?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.